Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 158, part 1, Times of Fearing and Doubting. Today is Friday, July 30th, 2010. Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I'm your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos. I'm coming to you from spirited North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's mission, the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota, is located in Disciples Ministries' historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. If you need food and you live in Minnesota and you are living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior 60 years and older or disabled with proof, call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. You can also shop at Pastor Paul's Mall online. Be sure to check out vonsgrocery.com. You can also join our online community, and up at the top of the homepage, you're going to find interactive links to Pastor Paul's blog, Flickr, Twitter, the podcast, Life Vantage, and YouTube. So be sure to check out the online community at pastorpaul.org. You can email me, Janine, at pastorpaul.org. And at Pastor Paul's blog, you're going to find show notes with scripture links. So be sure to check those out and join us every week for part one on Friday and part two of Pastor Paul's messages. The conclusion is on Sunday. This month, the month of July, the lineup is the following: Proud Self, Asking Evil Questions, Great Form But No Power, Are You a Believer in Seasons, So Weeping, Reap Rejoicing, Times of Fearing and Doubting. There you have it, the month of July. Hope you have a great summer. Be sure to join us every week here on Friday and Sunday for Pastor Paul's podcast. God bless you.
Times of Fearing and Doubting. Times of Fearing and Doubting. Let's look in on Matthew 14 and 31. O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? I think we're living in very fearful and troubled times. Judging from the phone calls that I get and people that are calling. And I think it's due to mammon. Mammon is loose. Demons of confusion. It says in the Bible that men's hearts shall fail for their mortgage commitments and their car payments and construction jobs, half done. You see huge buildings up in the air. Finances cut off. Construction jobs all over, half done. Interest rates up and down, fluctuating. Looking like there is money, but going in and there isn't any. You have to sell your next babies to get some kind of a loan. You used to walk in and write your signature down. That's no good anymore. No, you got to back it up with everything you have and more, because that's not worth anything either. See, there's not a market for anything, so it isn't worth anything. Oh, yeah, you can say it's worth $70,000 or $80,000 or $100,000, but if nobody's got the money to buy it and they won't give them money to buy it, what's it worth? So you're sitting on top of a whole lot of nothing. We are facing fearful, hard times. And a time of doubting is coming on like never. But welfare cuts. People are fearful. They're calling up. I had 15 calls in about 20 minutes I was down here. Our bread bus was up there. We just didn't get a whole lot of bread last week, right? I mean, we just wasn't there. And they said, well, we were up here. It was 10 after 11. The bread was all gone. What happened? Well, I said, we didn't get a whole lot. The bus is up there, but there isn't a whole lot of bread. People right now are in a need like they've never had needs before. And looking at all that and the way their voices sounded, they were fearful. Was this an urgency? What happened to the bread? What happened to the bread? Wow. Food stamps, they're cut. Days of evil are all about. Psalm 49 and 5 says, wherefore should I fear in the days of evil? In other words, why should we fear in the day of evil? Now, this is the day of evil. Mark it down. They're going to call good evil and evil good. When iniquity of my heels shall compass about me. Now, the man of God, I believe, has to and does look calmly forward towards dark times. Now, I'm looking forward towards them. They are on my heels. Listen, man of God, listening on the radio or to this tape. Evil times are on your heels, and you should know that. You should know that in the end, evil times are going to be on your heels. All of us should know that. When those evils which have dogged my heels shall gain, I believe, a temporary advantage over me. Temporarily, you will be at a disadvantage. Well, that's so negative, I don't want to believe it. You better believe it. I have, in the course of my ministry, been many times at the spot of a disadvantage. And when you get there, folks, when you get to the spot of disadvantage, you're going to have people fleeing. Say amen. And that's all right, because it says, wherefore should I fear in the days of evil? Now, having been through that, I forecast a terrible, 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 terrible forecast of a whole lot of evil coming on. And a whole lot of fear coming on, and a whole lot of people leaving the Spirit-filled church and dropping back into nothingness. And so those times, it says, have compassed about me iniquity on my heels, of my heels. Well, it talks about in the Bible about the serpent that's at the heel. Well, don't be downcast, because the Bible says, wherefore should I fear in the days of evil, when the iniquity of my heels shall compass about me? Simply look calmly forward and say, there it is. My God, I'm going to have to go through this again, only it's a more advanced type of a thing. Now, I believe in some dreary part of our road, it may be that evil will wax even stronger, more powerful than ever before. You're going to have to cry out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I believe that evil will become bolder and bolder and bolder, and it's getting bolder on TV all the time. You're seeing them making fun and mocking God. It's terrible. But I believe that evil is gaining on us, and will openly attack us. Keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ and don't you deviate one step from the path. God set you to do a work, get on that road and do it. Don't be dismayed, it says in Ezekiel, with their faces. But go on and press forward with what God has called you to do, because there's a day of evil coming on like you've never seen before, and there's going to be cuts and curtains coming down saying closed all over the place. And anyway, those that follow us like wolves at our heels, they're going to, it says, compass about us, overtake us. Well, what then should we do? Well, maybe we should just drop out of the race. Maybe Pastor Paul and all Pastor John and Fred and all you guys out there, maybe you should just quit. Is that what you want to do? Huh? You just want to quit, sonny boy? Preacher boy? Come on now. Come on now, listen to me. Do you just want to quit? Throw the towel in. Yield to cowardice. Should we allow them to sink their teeth into our backside as we're running? No, press forward towards the high mark, the calling in Christ. Don't pay any attention to their teeth. They're all rubber. Are you hearing this? No, I say to that kind of talk, never. We will not even fear. I mean, who are these foes? Who indeed? Mortal men. Remember one time when I was a kid, this great big old bruiser, he was about 200 pounds, and I was about, 110 pounds or 15 pounds. He was like in the eighth grade, and I was in the sixth grade. Something like that. Maybe he was in the same grade. I don't know. Remember, his name was Donald Griffith. And all day, I had to have a fight with this Donald Griffith that night. I thought, oh, God, Donald Griffith, what am I going to do? Man, Mountain Dean, I mean, the shadow of him just scares me to pieces. I was praying all day. I said, oh, God. I didn't know Jesus, but I said, oh, God, you got to help me out. Help me to beat this guy up. Oh, and I was so fearful. Then big old Donald Griffith come up, and he stubbed his toe, and that was the end of him. Sat down and bawled. Oh, my toe. I shoved my toenail all the way up. Oh, oh boy. Was I ever glad that happened. But see, I could have dropped out. No, I couldn't drop out. I had to go on and I had to go through. I could just see his big old fat arm around my neck and my eyes bulging right out of my head. But see, it was all in my mind. Come right down to it, see. Donald Griffith was no bigger than his big toe. How many are hearing this? I mean to say this. I mean to say to the faithful, there can be no real ground for an alarm. Now, a lot of times in my ministry, I should be alarmed. My God, what's going on? But no, I can't allow that to happen. Knowing what God has already done and what He will do, and that we are in very perilous, perilous times. I believe these enemies are too insignificant to be worthy of one single fear. God says to us, I, even I am He that comforteth thee. Who art thou? I mean, who are you? That you shouldest be afraid of a man. I mean, who are you, Pastor, that you should be afraid of a man or of men? Who are you? Who do you think you are that you have the right to be afraid? No, when you get put to you like that, well, in other words, How can nothing be afraid of nothing? Who are you? Without me, you can do nothing, the Bible says. I am he that comforteth thee. Who art thou that thou shouldest be afraid of man, that thou shalt die, that man will gonna die? Why be afraid? He's gonna die. And of the Son of Man, which should be made grass. All gonna return. What are you afraid of? And so then Matthew 14:31. O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? If I found out one thing in my ministry, it's this. One sure companion of faith is doubt. You can't have one without the other, it seems. And I believe as the sun darkens clouds, so do doubts becloud our faith. Doubt is always there. And I think that some men of little faith are continually, constantly, and always surrounded by fears. Their faith seems only strong enough to enable them to doubt. They never seem to have an overcoming faith, never. But it's always coming. Never quite gets there. It's always on the way. See, if we had no faith at all, then we couldn't doubt. Could we? But having a little, ever so little, they are perpetually, involved in distressing guesses. Do you ever get into distressing guesses? Well, if I do this, what'll happen? And if I do that, it'll happen. And what'll it look like if I do this? And what'll it look like if I do that? And furthermore, and so on, and thinking about this. See, turn your brain off sometimes. That's easier said than done sometimes, isn't it? Oh, turn your brain off. Sure. How do you turn it off? Chop your head off? No. It can be done. When you're in a whirlwind of mental torment, and when you're in a whirlwind of decision-making, decisions that could go one way or another, Pastor, listen to me, that could upset everything, then you have to turn solely onto the Lord and say, Lord, I just don't know which way to go. I am doubt. I am full of doubt. I call myself doubt. I don't call myself a man of faith anymore, man of doubt. Lord, help me with mine unbelief. How many are hearing this? And suspicions. Oh, when the fears and the doubts come, oh, the suspicions that come. We get suspicious even about God. Is God really there? Why is this all happening to me? Maybe he took a vacation. Maybe he's gone. So where is he? Maybe he doesn't exist. Doubt. Nagging fears. You ever have a nagging fear? You lay it down and pretty soon it's nagging on the back of you. Yeah, but. And then get out of here. And you forget all about it and you get busy and you're working and you're doing something and you're working and so on. And all of a sudden, you just stop for a minute. Look how the nagging fear comes back again. Naggy. How many are hearing this? And it just keeps a nagging at you all day, and you forget about it, and you go out for coffee with everybody at coffee break, and you sit down, and they're all talking, and you're all consumed with your nagging fear. Where are you? Oh, I'm off over here with nag. The old nag. So you're all caught up with these nagging fears, and the more you try to get rid of them, the more they nag. And they start to argue with you then, and they gather a whole group. Does this sound crazy to you? No, it doesn't sound crazy to you because it happens to you. Go ahead and admit it. You're all crazy anyway. Say amen, somebody. You listening? What is crazy? Crazy as Pastor Paul. Okay, well, that's fine. But listen, even those of very great faith at times can be subject to doubt. Does it sound negative to you? No, I don't care. I mean, you're going on in a tremendous amount of faith and made moves all over the place. There is an area and a place where Nagy Nag fears and all of his group will come and catch you, preacher, in a corner. And you're going to be caught in that corner just like when you were a baby in Christ. And worse, because they're going to say, hey, I thought you were a man of God. Now look at you. Ha, ha, ha. Look at them diapers. Oh, wow. And that dirty little blanket and the rattle and everything. Ah, back where you started from. How many have gone back to where they started from? And you thought, oh, I thought I was making great big moves in God. And here I am. I know preachers don't like to hear that, but see, it's the truth. Now, I believe he who has a very large faith will sometimes find that the clouds of gut-jerking fear will float over their face of confidence. All of a sudden, they're moving along, see? And the finances are coming in and everything is going good and maybe you're building on a great big old gymnasium over there at your church or something like that, Pastor, or you're putting on this great big parking lot or you're opening up another sanctuary, another wing to hold all these thousands of people that God showed you is going to come in, and all of a sudden the bank calls you up and they just had a meeting and say, we have to cut you off. All of a sudden, you got a great big long white face. And you start to get those gut-jerking fears and it floats all over your face. You can't even think straight. I believe it is not possible. Listen to me today. As long as we are here on earth, that we should be perfect in anything. Lord. Most of all, perfect in faith. Well, when you're perfect in faith, you ain't going to be here. You are not going to be here when you're perfect. Now, you're not going to be here when you're perfect in faith. Because perfect faith, you'd be out of here. I'd be out of here. Perfect in faith and wanting nothing, a vessel of faith, you'd be made Christ-like. Totally. Whew. Sometimes I believe the Lord on purpose leaves his children. I'm getting calls from all over, and hey, pastors, let me tell you something. I'm just thankful to God that I've been through some of these gut jerkers. For years I've been in the gut jerkers like this. And faced all those kind of things, and still I'm facing them, and they're still coming on, and it seems like the clouds are just greater than ever of doubt. But at least I've been through enough of them to know that my God is able. But I think sometimes, and I know that God sometimes seemingly withdraws his grace, and like babies, we're learning to walk all over again. And he withdraws his arms and pulls his arms back. And there we are, and we're standing out there all by ourselves. Very silently, you're all by yourself. And I think then he permits them to sink in order that they may understand. How many hearing this? That they may understand that they always must be kept alive and maintained by the influence and by the guidance of the Holy Ghost. Because a lot of times you get off and you start to guide yourself and everything is going so well that, hey, you're just going right along and this is happening and that is happening and all this is happening. And who needs God after all anyway? We'll call on you when you need you. And so here we have today Peter. And the Bible says he was a man of great faith. Because when others doubted, you see, he believed. When others doubted, he believed. How many are hearing this? And he boldly said, okay, please. When others doubted, Peter believed. And he boldly said that Jesus was the Christ, the Son, he says, of the living God. For which faith Jesus said, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. I mean, his faith was so strong, he actually walked, it says, on water. Well, that's Minnesota. We can do that in the wintertime, but I'm talking about out there. And yet, even he was permitted to fall in this situation. Permitted to. Faith left him. He looked at the wind and he looked at the waves and the oohs and the ahs and the look out, Peter, his friends cried out. And hey, Peter, the water's rough out there, you know. And the wind will surely blow you over. And then their faces of fear. Do you know other people can put fear on you by their faces? Huh? What are we going to do? Sort of like that game we were talking about, Freddy. Freeze! Isn't that the name of the... Or statue. And they can actually put fear on you. What are you going to do? What's going to happen? My God. This is happening and that's happening. My God, what's going to happen? Well, you're going to fall apart. That's what's going to happen. Your leg just fell off. See, and there's another one. Oh, there goes your arm. Oh, you're falling apart. Well, that's right. You literally will fall apart for fear if you get to looking at the faces of people. God, what's going to happen? What's happening to the world? The world is going to hell, all right? Bible says so. They don't receive Christ as their personal Savior. Each and every one that doesn't goes to hell. And by a simple confession that, yes, I'm a sinner, Jesus came into my heart, they'll be saved from everlasting hell and they'll go to everlasting heaven. Simple. And so are you hearing this message today? And the Lord said to him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? As much as to say like this, O Peter, thy great faith is my gift. And the greatness of it is my work. And Peter, don't for one ever minute ever think that you're the author of your own faith. Oh, man, I had such great faith, and everybody was watching me, and I was moving along so great, and they were all cheering and clapping and oohing and on and everything, and I was just cutting down them waves and moving out there. Whoa, hi-ho, you know. Now look what happened. Oh, Peter, it wasn't your faith. The life that you now live is me. If you forget about me and you got yourself, I'm the author of your faith. I'll just tear out that page and down you go. Start over, page one. The author of your book of life will turn you all the way back to chapter one. In the beginning, Paul was born, or Fred. Or Mick, or Don, or Jim. In the beginning, and you go all the way back. See, Peter, if I leave you, and this great faith of yours will disappear in a hurry, because see, you didn't have any outside of me. Your faith is my life in you. And every man is given a measure of faith. You didn't have it on your own. And Peter, like those who have no faith, you shall believe the winds, and then by listening to the waves, and regard your friends' shocked, fearful faces, and then you distrust your master's power, and therefore sink like a rock. And they call Peter Petros, Petri, rock. And I think many of you listening to me today on the radio, maybe some in here, taped, I'm sure are full of fear and doubting. I mean full of it. I talked about it Friday night. I think it's a good message. I should have called it vibrations. No, from the phone calls that I'm getting and from the people I'm talking to and in my own life, that there is an age of darkness coming on like never before, and God is dealing with the preachers. First off, there is a dark time coming on, that's for sure, and it is here, it is upon us, and I believe a lot of you listening are caught up in a lot of fear and a lot of doubting. I believe all true Christians have their anxious times. Every one of us. The heart that has never doubted, I believe, has never yet learned to believe. You're going to have doubt. But how are you ever going to believe if you never doubt? See, that positive preaching and all those things that you give you all the time, they're a little bit off because people will doubt, and that gets you to thinking. Why would you ever pray, Lord, help me with mine unbelief? How would you ever be like Thomas and actually get to put your hands in the wounds? He doubted, so put your hands in there. Now, he really knew. He knew more than the other ones did because he had to put his hand right in the wounds. His doubt took him to a deeper believing, deep into the sight of Jesus Christ, into all faith. So it isn't all bad. It gets you seeking. It got me seeking. I was up all night. Because I believe all Christians have their times of anxiousness. A land that will not grow weeds, I believe, will also not grow wheat. Well, you're not good for nothing if you got all weeds in your old field of self. That just needs a little bit of cultivating. It needs to have the weeds turned upside down. It needs to have that fertile, the furrows go down there, and it needs to be turned over and used for fertilizer. And the heart that can't produce doubt has not yet understood the meaning of believing. See, your heart produces that doubt. Well, I wonder. Well, if you wonder, it's a question. You're going to get an answer. So many people, now you might have a doubt. Maybe you're listening on the radio. Maybe in your heart someplace you have a doubt about a date that you've set to do something in a business or a job such or a marriage. And you have a doubt. Well, that doubt is going to take you into asking questions of yourself, of God, of other people, about this business or whatever it is that you're going to have to move in faith with, and you're going to find faith through that doubt. See, it isn't all negative because all things are working together for good for them that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose, says the Bible. I mean, he that never doubted of his state, he could doubt it too late. If you don't wonder where you're at, say you're going down the road and you're headed the wrong way and someone tells you you're headed the wrong way and you just persist in going the wrong way, and so now you have doubts. Well, wouldn't it be wise with this doubt to stop and going the wrong way? Yeah, you went 1,700 miles out. Took you that long to ask a question? Oh, the gas you burned up? Sorry, I'm closed. You'll have to stay here overnight. Hey. I mean, walking into something and saying, I have faith, is not always healthy. And some people think they can walk right into anything. You know, God is the author of it, and they just walk. I have faith and move right in there. Don't even ask God. It has to be somebody, Lord, do you want me? I doubt if I should go in there. If you doubt it, go to your author. Author, am I to go in there? Doubt to take you to the author, and God is not the author of confusion. And if you're standing there in confusion, then go to the author and say, author. And finisher of my faith, should I take this step or not? Because it's going to involve the whole of my life. Now, of course, there are always timid ones who always have little faith. And I believe and also that there are many great hearts, those who are valiant for the truth, who are now going through a season of darkness. Dark, dark times like they have never seen them before. Quivering in their guts, shaking in their knees, and with a long, white, colorless face, a question mark. What now? Well, the world talks to cows. They say, what now, brown cow? That's all they got to talk to, is some kind of a false god, calf. Well, we can ask God, what now? And in due season, the answer will come. That doubt, what now, God? I don't know which way to go in this thing. I am perplexed, bothered, and bewildered, am I, huh? Then call upon the name of the Lord because you are in trouble. Well, it isn't all bad. Let me comfort you in what I'm saying here today. Listen, if a man believes in anything, it is always good to put the question to him, why do you believe? Why do you think this thing will work? Well, for one thing, here's all the plans. And I've made up a little a model here, and here's what it's going to look like, and here's how it'll run. And I've dispelled every little doubt. Oh, don't be afraid of a little bit of doubt. Don't be afraid of it at all. It's going to take you to an answer. Is there, in other words, is there any evidence whatsoever that what you believe is correct? See, we believe on evidence, don't we? When you go to court, they bring the evidence up, and the evidence piles up on you, and you're either guilty or you're innocent. And the most foolish part of our doubts is that we do not doubt on evidence. And if you ask them, why do you doubt, they couldn't give you any good answer. If you ask them why they believe, they can tell you. But if you ask them why they doubt, well, I don't know. It's just sort of a feeling I have, a sixth sense of something or other. And yet, you see, if our doubts are painful, I believe the very wisest way to remove them is by simply seeing if they have any firm basis. Go on down and check out that doubt and see if it has any firm basis to it, if it has any power at all. O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? I mean, if you believe a thing, you want evidence, don't you? And if you doubt a thing, shouldn't you want evidence too? If you have a doubt, why not go after evidence? No, but we go on something like this. If the sun comes up tomorrow morning, then I know it's of God for me to do this or not to do that. Oh, God. And every tight situation, Pastor, that you get in, and here you are in a church, you've probably been there 20 years, and you're in a move of God, or 15, or 10 years, or 5 years, or 2 years, now all of a sudden you start to doubt God. God, is this really you? And you've seen miracle after miracle after miracle, and things happen, and you're doubting. Well, then let's go after the evidence. Put the question to that evil questioner, the devil. What is the basis for this? Does it have any scripture to stand on at all? Should I go on in the flesh now? I started out in the spirit of the thing. I believe we should have a ground for our doubts as well as a basis for our faith. And so this is such a wonderful text. It deals with all the doubting minds by asking them this question. O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Give me some reasons for doubting. Someone comes and they're doubting this and they're doubting. Well, give me your reasons. Oh, that sounds like a pretty flimsy reason. Well, give me another one. Well, I don't exactly know. I was thinking, I mean, I want to have a firm idea. I want evidences of why you're doubting all of a sudden. Is your doubt because of other people's opinions? Is your doubt is because you've been up all night and you've been thinking about things, or someone threw you off the track, or things didn't go the way you thought they would? Wherefore do you doubt? I mean, what is the evidence of this thing? You sure told me why you believed you should do the thing. Well, tell me now why you doubt it. And let's see if they have any firm foundation. Let's see if they have any, if they'll hold water. Maybe that jug you're carrying around is full of holes. Why are you doubtful and fearing now after all that I've done? In the middle of one little trial, why are you falling apart? Now, come on now, let's put yourself, the world even says, get yourself together. Don't fall apart. And, of course, all those good things and all them wisdoms come from God. All good things come from God, even if a person isn't saved. Every good thing they have comes from God. All good things come from God. The only thing is they want to take credit for it all. But that doesn't threaten God at all. It still gives good things out there. Are you hearing this? And so this is such a wonderful text, isn't it? So let's look at a couple things here. You who are in great trouble in regard to temporal circumstances that are listening to me on the temporary things that are happening right now. You listening are God's people, but you have been greatly tried. God, I don't know if I can take anymore. Whew, man, I don't know. I'm just strung up. I mean, I'm just, whew, man, I don't know if I can take anymore. I don't know if I can stand any more of this pressure. My God, where are you? Huh? Where are you? Now that I need you. Well, why do you doubt the great I am? Do I have to answer you in your doubt? Let's dispel it with a few questions. Can't you remember what I did yesterday and the day before and last week and a couple years ago and 10 years ago and how I got you out of trouble and how I healed you and how I brought you out of financial difficulty several other times? Now let's start to remember those things and we'll dispel that darkness and them doubts. Don't you worry about food stamps and worry about, Mabel Twish down there at the unemployment or whatever. Keep your eyes on Christ.